The message that we have here today is called the Gift of the Child. And we've been looking at a lot of gifts. You know, we started out in the gift of prophecy. We talked about the gift of angels, the gift of relationships. And we're looking here today at the gift of the child. Because all of those gifts that we have, they come from one individual. And it comes from God. So today, we're looking at the gift of a child, and we're going to be looking at some scripture, very Old Testament, right in the very beginning of Genesis, we'll be looking at. And we'll be going all the way up until 1 John. I'm only going to be looking at four verses. We're not going to look at all those verses in between, so just so that you know. I want to begin with a word of prayer as we look at God's Word. And I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to be in your heart, to be able to help us to hear the things that we need to hear. So, Father, I just appreciate your gift of the Holy Spirit. You've given us that so that we know who you are. We can respond to you appropriately. And we can hear your voice and we can hear the truth that's in your voice. We hang on to that. And, Father, I pray that as the message is given here today, that it's not just about being here and knowing that this is the Christmas season, but it's about being with God here and now. Because you are the reason that we even celebrate Christmas. And it's sad to know that there's so much commercialism that has been put into the Christmas season. But we know. We know the essence of it. We know the truth. And we know what we want. And we want to commune with you, Lord. So I pray that the Holy Spirit takes the words that are spoken and helps us to think about the importance of the gift of the child. And we pray all of this through your Son. Amen. So, we can think about that. Hope and I have three children, and we were 27 probably when we had our first child, 26, 27, somewhere around there. And I don't think we were prepared. And I'm trying to think that probably most of you were never really prepared for your first children, and what was to come. You have no idea what the personality is going to be. We didn't even know whether we were going to have a boy or a girl. We didn't know what color of eyes that they were going to have. We didn't know how tall they're going to be. We didn't know their the giggles that they would have and the laughter and how smelly the diapers are. And all of those things, we just don't really know that much about it. However, I just remember hope and labor. And I just remember right after the baby's born, when Emily was born and stuff like that, all she wanted to do was hang on to the baby. Because she realizes, and I realized too, it's like, that child is a gift. And if you can try to think of it even biologically, how is it possible that two people can come together and actually fertilize an egg, and that one single egg becomes a human living being that is very dependent upon you those first few years, and then they become teenagers, and then they become adults, and then you have a relationship with that child differently than what you have when you first had them, but you love them nonetheless. And we can kind of understand that, even if we haven't personally had children of our own. My wife says the babies have a smell to them. Yeah, and it's like, I don't have that great of a sense of smell, so I can't smell it. But I can tell that there's something special about that child. Every child is very, very special. And I want to look at the first scripture that we're going to be looking at here and kind of thinking about that having that birth. But it's going to be back in Genesis, and it is going to be about Eve what she says after having her very first child, which would be Cain. And she says these words here in Genesis 4:1. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." I like these words for a couple reasons. If you know anything about Adam and Eve, they're no longer in the Garden of Eden. They have been banished from that because they chose not to serve God, but to serve their own will. And because they were rejected, they rejected God in that realm, that they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and there was burdens that were placed upon them. The man's going to have to toil with the ground, and he's going to deal with weeds, and he's going to deal with sometimes crop failures and stuff. And he's going to have to work hard, and the sweat of his brow is going to be able to keep him alive. And for the woman, that she was going to, her childbearing pains were to increase. And we look at that and realize that even in amongst that, being rejected and having those curses put upon you because of the sin that was upon you, after having that child, holding a newborn baby, in fact, the very first baby born ever, I try to understand that, she says that with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Even in Eve's mindset, even within that innate sin that's in her and in us, she still recognizes the importance of God in procreation, in new life. And she gives God credit for the thing that just happened to her, which was still 9 months in the incubation process, and to be able to come out, and not having midwives or not having experience with all of this, she, and I'm sure, she depended upon God, because maybe she didn't know all of what was going to happen during that pregnancy and during that giving of the birth, and when all of a sudden, you know, the labor pain's coming in, and she's probably reminiscing about those things that God said, you know, that your labor pains are going to be increased. But when all of that is done, she recognizes the importance of God in that whole process. Now, much time kind of transpires. There's many generations that come out of Adam and Eve. Many nations come out of Adam and Eve. And there's a time, you know, we know the biblical stories where, you know, before chapter 6 or with the beginning of chapter 6 of Genesis, is that there's an awful lot of evil out there. In fact, it says that every thought, every inclination of man's mind is evil. God then brings upon the great flood. And after that, Noah and his family survive. Of course, they were on the ark. They survive, and they out of them come many nations and more more people and generations and the cultivations of culture and all of those things coming out of it. And then we have an individual, Abraham, who God selects and chooses to be the father of a particular nation, God's nation, the Israelites. And out of that, there's a prophetic word, because God, if you read Scripture, God is always, always, always drawing us to Him. One of the things that I keep saying in many of my messages is that there's an eternal destiny that God has. And He keeps saying it over and over throughout Scripture. He says, "I will be your God and you will be my people." And He does everything to allow that to come to the fulfillment that He wants. And sometimes it's hard on us because we have other ideas of what's going to go on. So what you know what God does is that we have this sin inside of us. And God has to deal with that because we ourselves can't. And Isaiah makes a prophecy which is about 700 years prior to the birth of Christ. And he says this in Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now these are the words of God given through the prophet Isaiah. And when a prophet is given a message like this and shares it with everyone else, what God is saying to those people is that I love you so much that I'm going to come. And I'm going to be born into this creation, to my creation. And you see, every Jew after this was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Waiting for that moment when this prophecy becomes fulfilled. Because they're waiting for the child to come. The gift of that particular child. The gift that God is sending so that He will rule us with righteousness and truth. Can you think of the Israelite nation that after this prophecy was given, that's the primary focus is what they were looking for, is for the coming of the Messiah. Well, that actually happens. And we look at the event, and we know, obviously 2020 hindsight is like really nice to be able to have. But we get to a situation over here where Mary, a young woman, pledged to be married to Joseph, right? She gets a visitation from an angel, Gabriel. And he comes and he says to her that she's highly favored. And that she's going to bear a child. And you're to give him the name Jesus because he will be the Son of God. Hence, in fulfillment of this prophecy right here. You know, in her innocence, she says, "How will this be?" And we look at this aspect over here is that the response of the angel is this in Luke 1:35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." I chose this scripture verse in particular, not that it just goes with this scripture, you know, the season and everything, but it really fits the gift of the child. Eve recognized that it was only through God's means and with His help was Cain being able to be born. Mary is at that same point. That the only way that the child, the one spoken at about by Isaiah, could come about is by the power of God. It's not something that we can create. It's not something that we can train an individual to be like God and lead the people to be righteous. But the one that was to be coming, the only way it could come is through the workings of God. The only way Cain could have come, Eve realized, is because of the way God ordained procreation to be able to happen. And yet God uses that procreation, and yet in a very special way, because Mary wasn't with Joseph. She wasn't married yet. She was betrothed to him. It's kind of like an engagement. But it wasn't until the wedding that they would be joined together. And yet, here, God has decided, I come in, and I'm coming into creation as a child. Just like all of you. And I'm going to experience everything that you experienced. And God does it on purpose. Because isn't it nice to be able to call out to the name of God and to pray to Him and to know that He's experienced the very things that we've experienced. Not just visualized it, not just watched it from a one of those big large screens TVs up in heaven looking down, and stuff like that. He experienced everything that we experience here. He came as a child. It's a gift. Mary was gifted with that child, and how blessed she is. Not that she's any different than you or me. But she bore the child of God, right? The Son of God that was up in there. And we think about that child. He lived to be 30, 33, somewhere around that age, And in that time, it was a pivot point within all of history because of what he did while he was here on this earth. He took our sin upon his shoulders, the weight of the world, that stuff that was separating us from the presence of God. He took it to the cross. And he died. Why did he die? Because the penalty of sin is death. He paid the price for you and me. The gift of that child is eternal. And that gift has been given to you and to me. And it's like we get to do something with that gift. And John speaks about that, what we get to be able to do with that particular gift. And he says here in 1 John chapter 12 or chapter 1 verses 12 through 13. He says, and I want you to look at the reference that what he calls you, believers, right? Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, right? Those are the ones that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is what He says. He gave the right to become what? Children of God. Think about that. And in terms of the beauty of a newborn child, how does that compare to the beauty of a newborn individual that's gone from a life of sin to a life of righteousness in Christ? It's a whole new birth. Nicodemus could not understand that when Jesus talked to him in chapter 3 of John. He just couldn't understand that whole process. But when you experience that and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there is a change inside you. You know what that change is? It's Christ in you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. It's God the Father in you. And you can't be the same with that. You are a new creation. And it's like there's such a joy about that. Because look what John says. He says, we get to be a child of God. And we talk about the gift of the child. God has given us a new life. That we get to be the child of God. How special that is. He says, children born not of natural descent, not just biologically, nor of human decision, and saying, well, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to have three children in 5 years, and boom, plan this whole thing out. It's not planned. It's not that way. It's not just the will of a husband saying, we are going to have my uncle 11 children. You know? And I guess it was an agreement between him and his wife. But it was like, that just always amazed me. You know? And then when we had our 3 children, and she had 11 children, 25 years of diapers. I'm not kidding. Right? But not just as a decision saying, this is what we're going to do. He says, but born of God. We are children of God because we are born of God. I want to go all the way back to Eve. She recognized that it was with the Lord's help that she had that child. It was with the Israelite nation that God helped that nation to know who the Messiah was. Didn't do very good on the Israelites' part of it, but the Gentiles came in and they were able to, you know, accept who Jesus was. And then we get to this point here where we get to choose whether we want that gift or not. It's an awesome gift. And all of that stuff that happened thousands of years ago has culminated to this point in all these different generations, all these different births and stuff, that you, with your particular style of living, with your particular choices that you've made, with your mindsets, you've come here tonight to worship God and to remember the gift of the child and how that gift of the child allows us to be the gift, the child of God. And how he must, I don't know, be so pleased when someone comes to receive him and believe in him. And it's like hope hanging on to their very first child. And that pain that she experienced is no longer. And the sin that you experienced is no longer there. The gift of the child this season, it's eternal because you've become the gift to God. That's special. God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son. You want to finish it for me? Yeah? Amen. That's the gift. This Christmas season, let that be the center focus of everything that you do. When you gather with your family, just thank God for those children and for those cousins and for those uncles and aunts and grandmas and all that stuff there. Thank God for that. Thank God for the life that you have. Thank God that you have the ability to be able to receive and accept and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Give God the credit for everything that you have. Just as Eve did, just as Mary did, and just as John's speaking about us. Giving God all the credit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, what a blessing it is, dear.